Oh my goodness, it's happening again.
What's happening?
We are in the cave, coming to you through your speakers, through your headphones, whatever device you're using this or hearing this on. It is Lady J, y'all. And with me is
Eric Anthony.
How you doing, my friend?
I am doing good, Daph J. Do you know what episode number this is?
This is in the 80s.
Close. You're very close. This is a special episode because it is a quarterly milestone. So we are at episode 75.
What? I was wrong?
You're close. You wanted? I mean, we're almost at the 80s, but this is a big deal because, you know, every quarter...
So I was wrong. I don't want to be wrong on my own show.
I like the fact that you just guessed, because you're not keeping track. You just do this because you love it. I'm keeping track, and I wanted to share the 75th episode with my favorite co-host in the entire world of podcasting.
You're welcome.
How are you, Daph J? And thank you for that lovely intro. What's with the headphones? You're pumping music. You're doing something. I'm not prepared for this. This is amazing.
So, you know what?
Talk to me.
Am I talking loud too? Because
no,
I have the headphones.
You're not talking loud. I love the look. You should just rock the look through the whole podcast.
This is the thing, right?
Tell me.
I love like radio broadcasting kind of thing. I love the look of it.
Yeah.
The headphones, the mic.
So you're cosplaying.
I'm doing this thing. I thought, you know, I'm going to bring this to life. So I'm like, I have my headphones in and I don't know. It's like the Black Panthers. The look, it's like, I want to have it all. The shades. That, like,
it adds to the atmosphere.
The leather jacket, like,
is anything coming through those suckers?
Hello.
You're not even plugged in. That's amazing.
I got nothing.
That's awesome. We're just gonna call you Headphones Daph. The amazing Daph J with the unplugged headphones.
I don't know, cause I don't. You know,
feel it. You're feeling it. You're
know,
in the place.
And you know when, like.
Oh, they got the one head.
The one head, just the one covering the ear, and the other one's like on top of the temple.
Do
like,
we need to get you turntables?
Well, you know that. What? It just might, hey, I don't know. What if this, like, transpires into something?
DJ
what if we
Symphony.
End up having, like, happening? Is that even a word?
No.
It's happening anyway. What if we end up having...
Happening.
whatchamacallit? A podcast, live podcast.
Would you do it or would you be nervous?
I don't know.
What if this was being videoed?
I don't know. I'm very emotional when I do the shows. So when I cry for real. When I laugh for real. When I scream for real. And none of those looks are good looks. Like,
no, they're good.
No. Yeah, they are. I will admit, I'm an ugly crier.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah, my lip quivers. I don't know if I want that in the public. I'm second guessing this now. But.
You never know. It could happen.
Whatever.
You got the charm.
But I like the whole, like, and I want that mic, like the one with the foam, not the foam, the sponge.
Yeah.
I like that mic. Or the one that David Letterman had on his table.
Those classic looking, yeah.
I don't know.
We could hook it up. I think it's time for an upgrade for the Cave of Solitude. We need to get like a, like, studio. A small little portable studio. We'll get like a official spot.
I don't know, I'm just saying, like, I feel like the show's growing.
You won't leave the house if that happens.
Well, as long as I'm wearing my sunglasses, I'll be okay.
I'm saying if we set up a studio for the Cave of Solitude podcast, I think you would sit with your sunglasses, you'd have your headphones on, and you would just find a million different things to podcast about nonstop. We'd have to get like a bigger server, we'd have to multiple websites, everything.
It's a fun hobby to have.
It is fun.
And but yeah, I wanted to implement props today. I wanted to feel the vibe.
You got the vibe.
Yeah.
I sense the vibe. Episode 75, we sense the vibe. It works.
Yeah. So, how are you?
I'm, you know what? I've had a nice afternoon. We're going to get into more detail about why our afternoon was a fun one. But I got to tell you, this Mayweather is not friendly so far.
Mayweather. Mayweather.
What about Mayweather? Like Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah.
It's knocking me out is what's happening. It's Floyd Mayweather. It's ridiculous. And,
yeah, it either makes me want to cuddle or it makes me want to shake somebody. It's been a little extreme this weather. And yeah. I think we're expecting snow on Sunday.
Happy May 5th, by the way. Cinco de Mayo for you.
Thank you.
May the 4th be with you.
Everything.
Everything. And as we record this now, it is the 5th of May. This is gonna be one episode 75. We're gonna be able to date it. May 5th, episode 75, and it's one day away from Free Comic Book Day.
Hey.
So this has been May 4th, Cinco de Mayo, Free Comic Book Day.
Look at that.
It's big time.
Special times.
You just need some sun.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Whee.
The people want to know, Daf J, how have you been doing?
I've been a little bit of a busy bee.
A busy bee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not literature-wise, though. I've tried. I can't do it. I fall asleep. However, I feel Netflix. I'm a big Netflix fan. Mostly, too, because...
For the record, you don't Netflix and chill.
No.
You Netflix and...
And I get to
learn.
Work.
Yeah.
I get to work. I do homework. I feel like a walking encyclopedia these days. And really, I feel like edumacated. I feel like learned. I don't know. It's a good feeling, you know? Even if there's things that you are familiar with, just to kind of get a refresher on things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I like being informed. And not necessarily to lecture anyone or to school anyone, because I don't think that's not how I take it. You and me spoke about this a little while back, right? It's not to prove how much you know, but it's just to kind of have a self-awareness of self, of your surroundings, and things that have happened in history,
Well, it informs how you feel going forward, right? Like, it's not a competition who knows more about what. It's more about, I feel this way. And I can base it off of these books that I've read or these films that I've watched. And that's the only way an opinion really matters, is if it is informed.
Because
a lot of people like to have opinions about things that they just might feel, but it's very surface. But when you are into a certain thing or a hobby or some sort of history, and you don't just watch one documentary or read one book about it, mm-hmm. that sways your opinion completely one way.
Mm-hmm.
It's always valuable when a person's like, well, no, I've read Civil Rights history. I've also read the Civil War history.
Mm-hmm.
I read it from the perspective of a World War II Nazi supporter, and I read it from the perspective of the people on the other side.
Yeah.
And it makes you be well-rounded. So, yeah, of course. Like, that's the whole reason for it, right?
And I think, too, what it does is, although we're fortunate... People, depending wherever you are, you're fortunate because perhaps of the part of the world that you were, you were able to be birthed in,
hatched.
Your status, or just even the color of your skin, right? Just because you haven't experienced things yourself, having an opportunity to explore and understand other people's experience, it just kind of, I think, it humanizes you. It kind of just makes you reflect and see, like, okay, this isn't my experience, it didn't happen to me, but, you know, I encounter people that perhaps feel this way, and how can we just be a little bit more compassionate and understanding and see things from their eyes, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, I'm on this tip right now.
You're talking about stuff with a lot of depth, but we have no idea what it is you're talking about.
So
inform us of what it is that you've been...
It's all documentaries.
Okay.
I love documentaries, and I don't know if I've already mentioned that on the show in the past, but I can sit there for hours on a certain thing and just take it all in. And I may not remember every little thing, but I love documentaries. Like, I can just sit there, just like infomercials. I get immersed... I fall in a trance.
Yeah, your infomercials for you are like me and Slam Dunkin' on Amazon.com or going to the comic book shop, because eventually
I can watch a mop go up and down on you, ceramic floor, wood floor, and I will be like amazed.
Because
in all the possibilities.
I've seen you sit through it, and it's like 5 minutes in.
I've seen copper pans on sale. I always dial the number ready to go.
Yeah, it's true. You start watching it. I see the converter in your hand, and then when I look away, I see the phone in your hand. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, do you think we should get it? I'm like, what do we need that for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they're
documentaries are better. I'd rather you buy a book. Be like, I want to read that person's autobiography.
So one of the documentaries that are on Netflix currently not one, but all of the ones, because I've binged a little bit, I saw the Maya Angelou, and Still I Rise. It's like a autobiography, how is it when you tell your own story, but also other people are commenting on your life? Basically, that's what it's about.
Her documentary.
Yeah, I wouldn't say documentary, but it's something.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I guess you can call it documentary.
I know what you're... the word is on the tip of my tongue, but
not autobiography. Well, maybe autobiography, kind of.
It's kind of like... I'm gonna... It's gonna come to me. You keep talking to me about it.
Anyway, it's... I liked it. I thought it was...
A reflection. Like a reflection of that person's life. Right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Just their beginnings and how things started and what affected them, what gave them the drive, you know, the things that they accomplished, the imprint that they left on history.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that. I also then, before watching that, I think, though, I saw the Black Panthers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Documentary. It's called The Vanguard of the Revolution. Also speaking on the history and everything surrounding
that time
and, like, wow, heavy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But...
It's very, very provocative. Very provocative pieces of history that aren't that far removed from us.
Mm-hmm.
And people who lived during they were still alive when we were. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of history sometimes that gets documented, but there isn't photographs of it. It's an artist's rendering of what that person looked like, or a statue of that person. Whereas when you are able to be informed about history where there's actual photos and video of what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
it just makes it seem so much more...
And this documentary, actually, I purchased this book a while back, and I just have not gotten around to it. Cause
makes you fall asleep?
I had a... Well, that too. But I've had... You know, it's been a little hectic this winter season, but having watched this documentary is making me, it's like warming me up to going back and actually getting the book that I purchased called Till the Midnight Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Which is based on the Black Panther Party.
Yeah.
And although I watched the documentary, it's not like, oh, well, I've seen it, now I know everything.
Yeah,
some
people feel that way about stuff, but no.
No, it's making me be like, all right, because I did start it. Right. I was starting it, but it is, I don't think it's an easy read. When I first started opening it, I'm like, wait, what? Let me reread this again. What is it saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, when I did have time to read it, I was reading it at night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I'm kind of like...
Shutting down.
I'm shutting down. Yeah. So my mind wasn't focused. But anyway, it's making me want to go for it and actually pick it up again. Only because it's so intriguing. The whole history, everything behind it.
Yeah.
And then I also watched Blackout. That was based on the power outage in 77 in New York City.
Wow, you've been all kinds of like good little chunks of.
And you know what? It seems unrelated to like the previous two things that I've seen.
I don't think so.
But I feel like there was an undertone,
yeah.
something that
yeah.
kind of just gets the wheels turning and makes you reflect.
Did one recommend, like after you watched the Black Panther documentary, did it have a recommendation underneath it?
After Black Panther, it was Maya Angelou.
Okay.
And then it's funny because then Maya Angelou, I think it recommended Oklahoma City.
Huh.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, they all, I forget the order that it happened, but... I ended up watching that, and that was very much related.
I love that you're still wearing the headphones. just want to put
I'm
that
committed.
Out there. Yeah,
I'm
love
committed.
It.
That was obviously based on the bomb attack of the federal building in Oklahoma in 95. Why are you laughing?
You know what? I'm sorry. You're talking about extremely serious things.
No,
I love it.
Just...
And what's tripping me out? It's not tripping me out. That's wrong. What's making me laugh is thinking. People are going to download this episode and it's going to say Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. For the record, that's what we're talking about here today on this episode.
Well, I'm just
saying. They're 15 minutes in.
You asked me.
No, I love it. No, I love it.
No, man. Now I feel the pressure.
No pressure. It's just, I love the range of our episodes together. That's why I love it, because there's so much more to it than what the tagline says.
White supremacist. That's what it was all about. White supremacist. Okay? And how they all about the government and like all this stuff. So yeah, man, if you want to learn a little tidbit of American history, look up one of these four documentaries. I enjoyed them. And like, they're not exactly pleasant to watch. It's not information that is like, ooh la la, but it happened. And
it's informative. You're right. It gives you a platform to have an informed opinion. Mm-hmm. And if some people choose to stay ignorant to that kind of stuff, and then they, you know, it's
important to know. Or like I said, it's not necessarily to have a platform to speak your mind. And I'm not saying what you're saying is that's what you're insinuating. I think what you said is correct. But what I'm saying is, I think too, depending on the type of personality you are, it's not necessarily like, knowledge is power, but not to abuse it. Not for me to feel like I can school someone.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
I totally get what you're saying.
Like, take the time to learn yourself and then, you know, use that to your advantage, not to belittle someone else's.
It gives you perspective on life and how to...
Like I said, to then understand and have some compassion and kind of, I guess, rethink certain things that you would...
Yeah, that you come to conclusions about
when
you live in your bubble.
Yes.
When you're in your bubble and you've been surrounded by the same type of people and thinking and all that kind of stuff, you lack a little bit of that compassion because you have your rules in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the bigger picture, but, you know, like seeing people of, not just the people of the civil rights movement that were Martin Luther King,
mm-hmm.
but the Nation of Islam,
mm-hmm.
and seeing what their ideology was, not to become a supporter of one or the other, but it's like, what made them get to these points? What were their differences in opinion? Why did, you know, why was Nina Simone a supporter of the Black Panthers? And how did that affect her art? Why did Maya Angelou feel this way about that? What influenced that part of it? How come there was a Ku Klux Klan and that these white supremacist groups like the Order and all of these things that turned into cults and religious sects and, you know, like all of these things, how did they affect each other?
Yeah.
Why do people get to that point?
And you know what? The Oklahoma City documentary, it's very interesting because I thought I knew everything, but there was a lot of surrounding things that connected and it basically affected the those events or the people. Anyway, you guys got to watch it, I think.
High recommendations from Dav J.
I think so. I'm about that.
I like it. I like that you come with... You always come with the stuff of, like, these are actually things that matter. I come with the stuff that's the fluff.
No, but
it's,
you know
it's
what?
A perfect juxtaposition.
But at the same time, though, like, this is reality, this is a part of history, but then it's nice to have an escape. And that's why we do what we do.
I like it.
Holla!
Keep those headphones on for the whole weekend. That's the challenge. So, Daf J, Cinco de Mayo, also marks the release of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which we got to see early in the afternoon on this day of 2017, May 5th. That's kind of our tradition. Yep. We like to go opening. We're not opening night, people, like the Thursday night, because
we gotta work.
I'm gonna fall asleep.
We gotta work, and the crowd, they be too cray.
Right. But early afternoon, Friday, try to beat the crowd, see the movie before anyone else can spoil it for us.
It's still opening day.
No, absolutely opening day. I'm just saying.
And if anything, it's actually opening day because we're seeing it in the day.
Absolutely right.
You know what I mean?
Facts. Alternate facts, but facts.
Is that what the kids are saying these days?
No, I think that's something that happened because of...
No. I know that.
I think people are saying...
Facts.
Facts, like, yes, facts.
That's what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
That's ridiculous. Well, I just put that out there? Children, kids...
I think children and people of our age bracket say facts.
What?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm not saying that.
You don't say that. What do you say when you want to say that, like, that's a fact? What do you say?
What do I say? I say word.
You're old school.
I say word. I actually do say that. Right? Need that. I don't know. It's, but that, because when you said it, when you said facts, and I'm like, I feel like I, what?
Yeah.
That, I felt like I was at work for a second. Because it was the other word they're saying. Lit? What does that mean? Fleek. I don't know. Fleek?
Yeah.
I've only ever heard that reference to eyebrows. So I don't really know what that means either.
Me neither.
So I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of falling behind. Yeah,
they say actually. Right?
That's okay, you know what? I don't know. I've only heard white kids say that. I haven't heard, like, my Jamaican friends say actually or anything like that.
They say facts.
They say facts, too?
Yeah, they say facts.
I haven't heard them say it.
Not our friends particularly. Listen, I'm not going to get in what race says what and the other because... Well,
I'm just saying,
they're going to have a documentary on me.
What I'm saying is... I feel young at heart, but I think I'm reaching that point where I don't know what's happening anymore. You know?
You're comfortable in your own skin. That's
You know when we used to be like our parent, like we used to think that our parents were out of the loop, you don't know this, you don't get it, you don't understand. Or when we would say like words like hype or whatever, like they would be like, what are you, or we were like, oh, that's so sick. And they would be like, what are you saying? You know what I mean?
I had
family. I feel like I'm like that now. I feel like I'm like, what are you talking? Use your words. Use something I can understand. But I think I'm crossing that bridge where I'm...
Can't deal with it no more. You even hate the sight of teenagers with backpacks. Makes you sick.
That's not... No, that's not true. No. I still wear a backpack.
Teenagers.
Well, I just don't like teenagers.
Right.
The fact that they have backpacks doesn't matter.
Right.
I still don't like them. Because they're rude. They're a rude group of people. They are. No, I can't even handle it. I'm getting hot just thinking about it.
Let's get into the things that make us feel light.
How did we
even
get into that? I don't even know.
I'm not sure. But Guardians of the Galaxy released today. For me,
I cannot find that on vinyl for the life of me.
Maybe it hasn't been released yet.
I've gone to three. This is... What? This is my gripe. I've gone to Cops. I went to Sonic Boom. I went to another shoddy place. I don't even know where it was. And all they had was number one. Is number two not on vinyl yet?
Maybe not yet. It will be. It'll definitely be. Good soundtrack.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I don't have it on vinyl yet. However, I did hear it. And I think I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
It's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
This movie for me, I don't know if we had the podcast yet when the first Guardians of the Galaxy came out. I think it was the summer just before we started. And I knew absolutely nothing about the Guardians of the Galaxy with it. I didn't even know they were a comic book property. Like, I was totally out of the loop. I'll be honest. And so that movie took me by complete surprise. I had no expectation for it. And I thought it was going to be... The big miss to see a talking raccoon in a tree. And I'm sure we've talked about it before on this show and other episodes, just skimming through it. But it became one of my favorite Marvel films. So this time around, I was really excited for Volume 2. Like, it was one of those films where I'm like, I can't wait.
Right.
For it. I have to see this in the theater. It's not one of those ones where I'd be like, I'll wait until... No. Gotta see this one. Were you in the same boat of anticipation for this movie? And how did you feel about the first Guardians of the Galaxy?
The first Guardians of the Galaxy, same thing. Had no idea. I was kind of like, what is this? The music intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's their niche now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of comic book movies are following that trend, which now to me, as cool as it is, it's kind of getting old. I'm a little tired. Like, okay, it was very... Anyway.
I think it works really well for the Guardians of the Galaxy because of how it's incorporated in the fact, and we'll get into it more, but in the first Guardians of the Galaxy especially, it was his connection to his mother and to his home planet, right? That was the last vestige of what was something he could connect to. So I like that the music is used in that regard.
Yeah, and I agree. Colby's playing baseball. What I'm saying
is... Security system.
is that I think that they took something that obviously has become very marketable, and they're using it... They're overusing it in everything.
Yeah.
And now it's losing, for me personally, its appeal. It's yeah. like, a, okay, I get it.
It worked here, so now you think you gotta... Yeah, right. I know what you mean. When it's being thrown into every other property...
Yeah.
To the point where it's like you're trying to...
It's not special anymore.
Yeah, lose, but... In this, in the Guardians, I still feel like that's their thing. I want to see
that. That is their thing.
Yeah, I want to see it in this. Yes,
that it is their thing. However, okay, before I get into that, was I excited? That's what you were asking me. Was I excited? I was looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
If I could be brutally honest, and this is probably taboo, and I'm probably going to get, like... thumbs down for it. I really, really was not looking forward to the Baby Groot.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not a fan. I was not a fan to the whole, like... And again, I think it was cute in the first one because it gave me that sense of relief. Like, oh, he didn't die. And of course, okay, he's a tree, so he's coming back. Like, he's growing into himself. Like, that makes... Like, even scientifically, it made sense to me, right? It wasn't just a magical moment where everything's just, you know what I mean? Like, it just worked.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was looking forward to him kind of re-something his role as a whole, as his muscle.
Reclaiming
his whole, like, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't into it. And that kind of made me, like... What are they doing now?
Okay.
So, I think they took something that everyone was all happy about, and they made it cute, and then they made, like, you know, the dancing plant and all these toys, and then they figured, let's do this for the movie because it's going to attract and bring in, and it's smart. I'm not saying it
was ridiculous. Yeah, it's definitely a marketing choice.
For sure, but I wasn't a fan of it.
Baby Groot wasn't. You weren't sold on it. So, the whole... And this time around, the movie begins with
and
that.
I know it's a small thing, but it kind of made me like, are they going to make this silly now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the first one, I felt there was a little bit more like, you know, we'll talk about it. I guess the differences and stuff. Yeah.
So, the first Guardians of the Galaxy... You kind of get a sense of how the movie's going, the tone of the movie when the music starts playing, and he's going to look for the orb, right? On all by himself. You're first introduced to Star Lord Peter Quill, and he throws the Walkman on. In this film, it starts very similar, where the whole team now is facing off against a space monster. Mm. I don't even remember what it was called. It's like a huge octopus looking thing that's unstoppable. And it's more of a music montage for Baby Groot.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny that it shows what everybody else is kind of doing, but you're just watching Groot enjoy the music.
So we're spoiling it, yeah?
Spoilers. Absolutely spoilers. If you haven't watched the movie, we're going to talk about all kinds of things that are spoilers. Did that opening montage kind of change a little bit of your... trepidation going in of like, I'm not a fan of the Baby Groot, when you got to see how much fun it was? Or was it like, this is what I was thinking was gonna happen?
That montage actually annoyed me.
It was too much.
I felt dizzy. Thank goodness I didn't see it in 3D. We didn't see it in 3D because again, along with my lack of tolerance of teenagers and stuff, like, I also get like,
you're really old, Daft J.
I don't know, I'm like an 80-year-old woman, just grouchy.
I don't like teenagers. I'm sick and tired of the words that they use. I don't know what they're saying no more. What's this Baby Groot crap?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that opening scene. To me, it felt like too much. It was, I felt like I wasn't following. It felt like it was just about that one marketing tool that they were really heavily...
Mm-hmm. Going for Baby Groot product.
And well, it just was silly to me. As opposed to in the first one,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking about the entire story arc and everything, even the dialogue, I felt it was much more fluid. And even though the comedic relief in the first one it seemed more natural, more like just very conversational.
Yeah.
And in this one, I found that it was very pointed. Like, it was very specific one-liners, or they were purposely trying to get a laugh. And it just didn't feel... I'm not saying it wasn't funny.
Right.
But it just didn't seem as fluid as the first one.
I agree. I mean, I don't want to go into this. It's so easy to go into a sequel and we automatically
compare. You start comparing.
Automatic, right?
But the only reason I'm watching the sequel is because I saw the first one. And because the first one was so good,
right,
it drives you to go see the second one. And yes, there are certain consistencies that you do, I guess, would appreciate because that's what you liked about it to begin with.
Yes, you're right. So it's one of those things where, like, people always, you go into, get into a conversation, whether it's at a comic shop or somewhere, and people are like, yeah, you know, the Avengers 2 was just, oh, you know, hindsight being 2020, we're like, oh, it was just not good. It was because of how good maybe the first one was, or because of how Civil War turned out. And all of these things now are becoming like a collective of a universe, especially with the opening Marvel. Did you notice that opening Marvel credit roll? You know how they used to just play the music and the comic book pages flipping?
Yeah.
Now you're getting scenes from the entire Marvel Universe. You got a clip of an Iron Man movie. You're getting a clip of the past Guardians of the Galaxy. You see Doctor Strange. You see Captain... Like, everybody is their whole world now.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer just like, these are things from a comic book page that we're adapting. Like, no, this is the continuation of our universe. Welcome back.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that because the first one hit just right... The first Guardians of the Galaxy was such a crowd pleaser. I think they're really trying to go bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that sequel grandiose aspect. Like, with this work, we got to make it bigger. Mm-hmm. We got to make the scope bigger. We got to make the stakes bigger. We got to make the humor more. We got to make, you know, more music in it.
Yeah.
And I felt that, I agree with you in that I thought this movie was really funny. I just thought that they laid it on a little bit too thick.
Yeah, yeah.
Forcing the humor.
That's what I think.
Yeah, and I liked a lot of the consistency in character between the team, like seeing how Groot and Drax are always kind of at odds, those little things, or how Rocket and Quill have this little back and forth, tit for tat type of situation. I love all of that, mm-hmm, when they're doing it with each other. But just sometimes it got to the point where, for me, certain things were a little too wacky for the sake of it maintaining a humor.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they... It didn't take away from the movie, because it's Guardians.
I think it was so forced.
Yeah, sometimes
it was just... So it stood out a little bit more, but not for the right reasons for me.
Yeah.
Not to say it wasn't funny, because some things were like...
Yeah.
Like, the first one, I remember, I was actually laughing hysterically. Like, I was in the theater LOLing.
Mm-hmm.
And here, I was kind of... This time around, I was kind of like, oh, look at that. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't really feeling it as hard.
Yeah, because it was, you knew like every time there's going to be something coming. Like, you never got a... I felt like there weren't enough breaks from trying to slide in a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did laugh out loud a couple times, and I did like the baby Groot. It grew on me.
There's something
pun intended, I guess, but
I will admit, like, there were parts where it was funny, like him being small and but see, like, even now I can't even think of them. But there were parts where I was like, oh, okay, that's cute, that's funny, that's actually kind of funny. But it wasn't. It just didn't seem as natural.
Yeah, I.
But that's okay. You know what I mean? Like,
I liked how they used the baby Groot, though, because he was small and he wasn't this big lurking tree that in the first movie is like, well, he can reach up to that thing, or he can protect us as a shield. In this case, him being small was useful to the story of, you're little, you go in there and sneak in.
Yeah, but there was also a lack of comprehension, so that I also didn't understand. I'm like, but he can carry a conversation any other time. But when it really matters, there's a disconnect.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I don't understand this, but whatevs. I mean, it just wasn't my favorite thing, and I was really hoping that maybe it would change my mind. And there were parts in the movie, like I said, that were like, oh, okay, I get it. That's funny. But it wasn't...
It wasn't my thing.
I don't know.
How did you feel about the story this time around, and what the direction that they went in with the movie? Did you... For myself, I know I'm asking you, but I'll start off. For myself, at first I wasn't quite aware of what was at stake, what the story... Like, I knew he was reconnecting with his father, but I didn't feel the chase or the escapism as much. There came to a kind of a point where it seemed like the team was separated, and I knew that it was to tell certain stories. But once he did get in contact with his father, I kind of felt like, as fast paced as these movies are, it kind of slowed a little bit. Did you find that? Like, I wasn't sure if there was a villain, what's at stake here? What's going on? Is it just a story reuniting with his father?
Yeah, I thought it was rushed at the wrong parts, and I thought it was slow at the wrong parts also.
Okay.
Like, where they should have, I guess, taken their time. I felt like we're on the next scene. Like, there... I don't know. Like, there was just a lot of... The story... I don't know. I like the movie, but I feel very conflicted. I don't even know how to... I liked it.
I'm not asking you to give it a rating yet.
No,
I
know.
I want to go through the things that we like.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like, that... Me having a hard time telling you is, I think, how I feel about the movie. It's just, it's...
But
it was a hit and it was a miss in a lot of ways.
So big hits, big misses for you.
I think so.
And you know what this is important to remember is that you just walked out of the theater, right? A lot of times when you revisit it, it could either improve or it could settle into, yeah, this
no,
is...
No, because, okay, another spoiler. You had mentioned that, yeah, there's a connection with him and his father. There was, I think, his acceptance of having a father was too quick. You can't tell me that 34 years or 38 years or whatever, where there was no explanation, no connection, nothing. Overnight, you're just going to be okay with it. I mean, there were hints that he was kind of like, what? But then it was like, oh my goodness, I'm this. Oh my goodness, I'm a part of that. Oh, this is what happened. And just being okay with it.
But he did, his father did prove to him without a doubt, like, I am definitely your father. Like, he showed him evidence in history and everything about his mother that would prove who he is as far
as
his parentage.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe it's just me as a person. I'm skeptical. Just because you show me one thing, it doesn't mean that my whole world's going to change because of that one little thing. Like, there needs to be a development between me and another person.
So you're saying as far as what he was willing
to give up, to sacrifice, or whatever. Yeah, everything, right?
But
it was just too quick.
I get that part.
That's what I mean. And I know these movies are limited to how much time they have and budgeting and all this business. But if you're going to tell a story of where you're introducing a relationship, it just didn't quite make that much sense to me.
Okay. Yeah. Especially...
I don't know, man. I feel like...
I found that this movie had a lot of humor and it was silly throughout.
You want to know what my thing is? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think overall, this entire movie is very family heavy. The topic, the theme, everything is about family.
It's got a lot of heart. It's got a lot of heart at the end.
And... For how heavy it was, it just seemed like in certain parts, certain areas, it lacked that. It lacked the weight that you would think would be there.
And I think it meant to, though, because it's dealing with issues of parental abandonment or sibling rivalry between Gamora and Nebula. Even the different, like, Drax learning to communicate with Mantis and all of these different themes between people. Or even
Yondu and his Yondu people. And
right, all of those, these different relationships and self-discovery. Like, it's all done very, using humor to get through it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, because they're heavy topics, and sometimes we approach these things in life all the time so heavy.
Right.
And sometimes you need to do it lighthearted in order to let your guard down.
I appreciate that.
And I think that's what this movie does really well, is that it takes all of the... It takes a talking raccoon and a guy that's blue, and they're able to get to know who they are personally and each other and see that there's a kinship there. And why it is that they, ultimately why they do what they do.
I can appreciate what you're saying, and I get that. But like I said, how many years for you brought up Gamora and her sister?
Right.
This rivalry for how many years? For how long it's been going? For how betrayed one felt and the other, you know? And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, wait a minute. No, this is all I wanted. All I wanted was a sister.
But sometimes, you know what? In real life,
though, it just takes that one moment to have a moment of clarity.
Sometimes it's just a matter of saying, this is how I actually feel. This is why I'm so upset. Because this is what I wanted. And all we ever did was this. But all I needed to tell you was that one thing. And it changes the whole dynamic. And even though it doesn't change the history, and it doesn't change the pain of the fight, the constant rivalry that they had, that was perpetuated by their father. I mean, listen how we're talking about such a...
But that's the context of the this film, right?
Thanos is a titan. He's a godlike character who enjoyed seeing that sort of thing between his children. And, you know, elevating one to make the other one feel... to give them the motivation to better themselves, but also torturing them. Like, you're not as good as this person. And that was kind of like, I want you to be better, but you're not as good. And the constant reminder of their ineptitude. And that's real stuff that happens within family. And sometimes when you...
Right, but you wait 30 years to tell me this when you could have told me this from time?
Pride, right? It's a matter of letting the pride down. Like, okay, I get it. Are we going to do this dance forever? Or can we just recognize what it is that we do want from each other?
Like I said, I can appreciate what you're saying. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that it just seems so... For the hatred to be so intense, to then, like that, to just... You just flip the switch like that? It just seems so...
Well, because...
It just seems convenient.
Yeah.
It just seems convenient. I'm not saying it's not realistic or it's not possible, is the word I'm looking for. It just seemed convenient for the story. And, you know, that's it. That's what I just thought for certain plots and certain storytellings and certain characters... It just seemed a little rushed to me.
Well, yeah, because you're telling a really, really big story, and the scope of it is so huge that you got 2.5 hours to fit all of these things.
But then just pick 2 or 3 main stories. Don't do 6.
I thought, you know what?
All in all, not that I'm saying there was 6 plot lines here, but I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna do something, sometimes condense. It's not about quantity; it's about quality.
Yeah. And I think the ultimately subsequent watches, I always say, will determine, like, Rogue One. The first time I watched Rogue One, I enjoyed it. But the second time I watched Rogue One, I loved it. Because I'm like, okay, I know what the whole point of this story is. I have an idea now who these two characters are, who are guardians of, I forgot what it was called now. The two guardians in Rogue One on Jeddah. And then you got these characters, these are the roles they play. While I was watching this movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, okay, is this movie about the mutiny that Yondu is dealing with and how that's going to tie in with Peter and his father rescuing him? I wasn't sure how this was going to connect. It felt, at first, as I'm watching it, I'm like, I don't know what story is important here, what to follow. And what the ultimate thing is. I knew in the first Guardians of the Galaxy, he's like a bounty hunter. They're collecting stuff. They're a ragtag team that joins up so that they can escape prison. And they want to figure out what the MacGuffin is, which was the orb that had the Infinity Gem in it. That's the whole thing, is surrounded the Infinity Gem and the power of it, right? I got that. In this one, I wasn't sure if it was how each relationship was going to. Was Thanos behind going to be behind it because the two sisters are fighting? How did that play? Yondu and his being overthrown on his ship. How did that play? Quill and his father. What was going to, like, you know what I mean? It felt like, what do I follow here? But when it comes to the end, the ultimate battle and everything, you see how everybody's relationship is either mended or given clarity. I'm like, okay, I get what they were trying to do here. But I agree with you that things did happen very fast. And it's hard for you to feel what you're supposed to feel, you know, by the pace of it.
My issue with this movie is, as much as I enjoyed it, and it was fun to watch, I just think that they were, the people that were involved in the making of this movie were very heavily relying on its first success.
Yeah.
So, it, like you said, right, they laid it on thick. It was just so obvious that the humor was very, like, pointed. It was very specific. You couldn't miss it.
It was not. It was the
cameos of certain characters. Like I said, in the first one that we saw the Howard the Duck, and we saw the dog, and we saw, like, you know, just certain things here and there. But I feel like in this one, they made sure that this person showed up, and that person showed up, and there was a little bit of a hint there, and that person was there. Like, it was just overload.
You're right. Because this is such a it's a huge cosmic story where you can go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I had read the Guardians of the Galaxy series from Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning that became kind of like the inspiration. It became the stepping stone of, like, hey, let's make a movie out of this version of the team. And I read that series, and there's so much stuff in it. So when I'm watching the movie, I feel like I read this, but I remember absolutely nothing of who's who. And I felt like I was constantly trying to catch up with, like, this must be important. And this is a person I should know, but I have no idea who it is. And I feel lost. And I could have, I've read the stories of knowing who Peter's father is. I've read him in the comics, and I'm like, I don't remember him being Eagle the Living Planet. I know Eagle the Living Planet is something that I've read before, but I don't remember it being this way. And I wasn't, it was confusing me.
Right.
And then even, like, when Sylvester Stallone, spoilers, shows up, and he's a Ravager, and you're like, well, he's somebody, and I don't know. And I felt kind of stupid being a comic book reader, but having absolutely no connection to what these things, and they were all, there was a ton of Easter eggs, a ton, constantly, and they were important characters. But as I looked it up just now after coming home from the theater, they did change a lot of things. Like, Eagle the Living Planet is not Peter Quill's father in the comic books. His father is a royalty on another planet, Jason of Spartox. I'm like, that's who it is.
Is he bad in the comics?
I don't remember. I don't think he's necessarily bad or good. He's a politician. So, depending on what it needs to be done, because he's an emperor and he's losing his empire, and there's a bit of a galactic war taking place that the Guardians have a role in, he's kind of like in the middle of, you don't know if he's good or bad. But he's not like a god, right? He is a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he is a monarch, so it gives Peter that he's part of a monarchy in his blood, royal blood, but not necessarily a celestial the way it was in the film.
Right.
So I was like, I feel like I'm out of the loop, and I've read Mantis in the comics. I've read.
Oh yeah, she's the character. I figured she's the character.
Yeah, she's a part of the team in the.
Oh, comics. Is she?
Yeah, she is.
Oh.
Even
that I didn't know.
Sylvester Stallone is his, at the end, in the end credits, if you're listening this far, and you are going to go watch the movie and you don't care about spoilers, there's 5 post-credit scenes that you got to stay for.
We should have said that in the beginning.
Yeah. I'll put it in the bio for the episode. But Sylvester Stallone and the group that he's talking to, you remember he's like, it's been a long time since we've been together.
Yeah.
They're the original Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics.
No.
Yeah. That was like an original concept of the Guardians of the Galaxy in the comic books. He's a character named Starhawk, who's an extremely powerful cosmic character.
Really?
Yeah, and he keeps on like he's lived like a bunch of lives.
So reincarnating?
He keeps reincarnating and he remembers all of his
past lives.
So he's like a very knowledgeable person, but he's from the 31st century. So they're like a futuristic Guardians of the Galaxy in the comic books, not to get confused with the movie. They exist in the 31st century, and they come back in contact with the Guardians of the Galaxy of our timeline that we're reading, right? It's like a alternate timeline future type of thing. But they were technically, in the comic books, publishing-wise, the original Guardians of the Galaxy team.
So what made them change the characters? They just weren't doing well, or they
I think it was
revamped
just,
it?
I just think it was like, let's put together a new version of the Guardians of the Galaxy that isn't from the future. They exist now, right? So there's so much stuff that is there, but a little bit has changed of the characterization of who's a family member of who. Ego the Living Planet being Peter Quill's father. Ego the Living Planet, I read stories of that in the Fantastic Four, and I'm like, I feel like I've read this before, and it's so familiar. And it's one of those things where I get frustrated, like, I've read so much stuff, and you've got all this information in your head, but you remember absolutely nothing of it. So when you watch the movie, you're like, wow, I'm completely lost. Which isn't always a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. But when you watch it, like, was that important? Was that should I know that? Am I going to have to... Is that something I gotta remember?
But if you go into every movie thinking, is that important? Is that an Easter egg? Is that something I should be aware of?
It's distracting.
It is. It takes away from the experience.
It is.
Most likely, too, it makes you frustrated as a... Because you're thinking, like, I'm missing it.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, I feel like...
As opposed to me, as a lay person, I'm just watching it, and I'm just here, I'm watching the story.
And sometimes that's better.
I think so.
Yeah, sometimes that's better.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
No, I was, you know what? It was just one of those things where I felt confused, and I wasn't sure if it was just me, but when I read, like, I did a little bit of backstory research, I'm like, okay, it wasn't me. All of my confusion was legitimate, because things aren't the way I remember them to be.
Right.
How did you feel about Kurt Russell being... I thought it was kind of cool. I liked
his... Is this the new thing now where they keep taking these old actors and they, like, you know, do the whole...
Making them young?
Yeah.
It's incredible, right? They should... Seeing that, I'm like, I want to see them do another Indiana Jones movie or just cast Harrison Ford to be the young Han Solo in these Han Solo movies that they're coming out with.
You know
if
what?
They make them look that young.
As cool as it is, it does look a little freaky. Because in the beginning, I was like, is that... That looks like Kurt Russell, maybe? And, like, I wasn't even sure.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, the more I watched it, because like, I wasn't even hearing him. I was just trying to figure out his face. Like, I feel like I know this person, but not really.
Right.
So it's cool, but, it needs to be done well.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be done well. If not, it could be very distracting.
When
they do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it with Tony Stark's father and Michael Douglas.
They did it with Princess Leia.
Yes, Princess Leia as well. Yeah, you're right. We are seeing a lot of that. Even General Moff Tarkin. In Rogue One, he was the general that was featured in New Hope.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And they did him too. And at first you didn't know that they had done it, but on subsequent watches you're like, oh yeah, that's a CGI'd version of him. It's a little trippy.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But it kind of makes you wonder, do you want to see other characters like that continually? Or is it
disturbing, especially when the person's no longer alive. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if you saw an Obi-Wan Kenobi feature and it was Alec Guinness, not Buddy, Ian McGregor. Like the original one.
I don't know. And that wasn't a fart. That was my mouth making a noise. That was like a, I don't know, kind of thing. Not, it didn't, just want to clarify. That wasn't a squeaker.
You didn't poot it.
I didn't. I didn't Poughkeepsie myself.
Poughkeepsie. What did you think of the relationship as far as what Ego wanted, being in that sort of godlike position and his ultimate goal?
To be honest, I didn't understand it.
Okay.
I didn't. What, he was bored? Is that what it was? Like, he just didn't know what else to do with himself, and so he just...
He was trying to find meaning, right? And I guess he realized that with this type of power and ability, I could make the universe in my image and kind of be in control of everything. He wanted to make every planet his living planet, but he needed the power combined with another person to do it. He couldn't do it alone. So it was that sort of... that God complex, right?
Yeah.
Did you find that to be somewhat of a commentary on religious viewpoints, or just like he's a guy who's power hungry and he let the power get to his head? Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to go with the latter.
Okay.
What does that mean? The last thing you said?
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard it. I'm telling you, I've been learning things.
Oh, bro.
But then I second guess myself.
Okay. You just want to make sure. Can you hear me okay? The headphones blocking me out? She's still wearing the headphones, people, just so you know.
I'm telling you, I'm for real with this. Yeah, I just think he just had a, like, you know, I'm this guy. And that part where, basically, because he was trying to find another person to do this with him, because that's the only way he could do it. He basically went from planet to planet to planet, just impregnating everything so he can get a seed. And it just seemed very, I guess because he's a god, so it's fitting. Like, just very idealistic and very, like, egotistical and very, like, look at me. I could do all of this.
Mm.
And convince people and have them fall in love with me, and just very high in my, like, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
You said egotistical, very like power hungry, very
like he loved himself. He gave me that impression that he was just in love with himself.
Ego, the living planet, right? Like his ego was the size of
which, you know, planet. What to me was a little disappointing.
What was disappointing?
That he was such a douchebag. Because your only knowledge of him is that he was the love of Quill's mother's life, right?
Yeah.
And she was convinced that, you know, he's not from here, he's from there. People thought she was crazy, like crazy in love.
Right.
But her love was genuine.
Right.
And she passed that on to her kid.
Yeah.
And for him to turn out to be not what she thought he was kind of disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's...
And maybe that's what it was supposed to do, right? It was supposed to be like, oh, we thought this guy would be like a hero. Or maybe he disbanded from the rest of the Ravagers because maybe he disagreed with how they did things. And so he did the noble thing and went off somewhere and... Or maybe the Ravagers did him wrong and he's trying to make his way back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the ideal.
Yeah.
It just, like, the balloon was burst a little bit.
Right.
But I think at the same time, as disappointing as it was, I think it was a twist. A plot twist that I don't think anyone was expecting. And it made it very, it made it interesting. It didn't just follow that obvious.
I thought it was cool because as much, like, you're right, it is that plot twist of, like, he's reunited with his father, and his father's, like, got an oasis of a planet that it just seems so beautiful and altruistic, and he seems like, you know, this is who I am, I wanted to, I've been looking for you all of this time. It just felt like perfect reunion,
mm-hmm.
and he would have some sort of stability now. But it was really a way to ground this cosmic story that is so, like, traveling through space and time and all this crazy stuff that you see, mm-hmm. to bring it back down to the fact, like, even though the person's your, like, Yondu said, he was your father, but he wasn't your daddy. Mm-hmm. Like, I was your daddy.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Can I say something like that?
Yeah.
Something about that? The first time I heard a phrase like that, someone was wearing a t-shirt on Jerry Springer.
What? This is awesome.
No, it was one of those, like, DNA issues that were happening, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And some guy abandoned this girl, and, you know, this other guy, like, stepped up and became... And he wore a t-shirt. It says... What did it say? It said... Anyone can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a daddy. Something like that. I remember that t-shirt. I saw it on Jerry for the first time, and I'm like, that is so profound. And I remember it, like, and I was a kid, right? But I'm like, oh, that's so deep, because it's true. You know, people say blood is thicker than water, but there's some people that they may not be family, but they are really true. They're really your people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's that other phrase, too, where blood makes you related, but love makes you family. Right?
That's good. Wow, that's deep. That's ocean deep. That's deep blue. But going back to my gripe about it, were things I felt were rushed. I don't think it was everywhere. I think certain relationships were rushed, but I think character development was done well with certain people. And Yondu, I think, was one of them,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, I did. I liked that arc a lot.
And I think it explained a lot of the positions he took in part one.
Mm.
Like, I feel like it clarified a couple of things,
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Which I like. Like, that's the kind of stuff I like.
I think this movie had to go bigger and be more, you know, we had this much success. And like you said before, because of this, people like the humor. We got to make sure it's funny. We got to make sure it's funny.
Yeah, let's amp it up.
Everything was this was Guardians Part 1, mm-hmm. amped, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Bigger stakes, bigger fights, more colors and brightness and yeah. all of this stuff. Like, the tech has to be bigger. Like, but I think ultimately, when you watch it as a series, I think it will hold up. When you watch it again, right. Because like you brought out a good point. Now you watch the first one and it's like, oh, now I know why. Maybe at the end of the movie, he saw that he was tricked by Peter and he kind of smiled, mm-hmm. like kind of like yeah. proudly. Right.
Yeah.
And so as you watch this movie and realize where the story is going to be taken, it will be like, I know now why they're doing all of this in order to get to this heartfelt point ultimately. Yeah. And when it all comes together, all the little humor, forced humor aside, which I still thought was really funny, it did touch me.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing Rocket cry,
okay, that guy's a crier.
He's got a heart. He always
cries at the end.
Yeah, he's got a heart.
I see myself in Rocket, you know. I really do. Like, you know, sometimes I can be that aggressor that's saying things off the cuff, you know, and it being frustrated and angry, and then, you know, you reflect and you're like, you know what, like, you know, yeah, like, you feel the emotion, like, yeah, I like Rocket. He was my favorite in the first one, and he was still my favorite.
Me of you, I will say.
I yeah, well, thank you. Okay, because it sounds very like, oh, I'm like this, but like,
you got some Rocket in you.
I see it like that. No, like, saying things out of whack sometimes and being like, you make it a mission to be an asshole? Like, like, well, sometimes I do. But yeah. But not really. Not because I want to. But it's almost like a defense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Took the words right out of my mouth. It's, you know, you just want to protect yourself.
But you got to do it first before someone does it to you.
But you know, sometimes when you reflect back and you're like, you know what, I did that to the wrong person.
Yeah.
Like that, and that's on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when you own that, there's also, like, a growth attached to that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? That was on me. Sit down, be humble. Kendrick Lamar.
Quotable.
Like, so, yeah, I really liked him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a little... He cried in the first one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it all comes together really well, I thought. It's a fun summer movie. Soundtrack's a lot of fun. I like and the thing, too, with the first soundtrack and with this soundtrack, there's songs that you know, but they're not the most obvious song that you know.
Yeah.
They're not over, like, they're well-known, and they're sing-along, but they're not that every, they're not used in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they quickly become, I don't hear, what's the name of the song now? I call it Uka Shaka, but that's not the name of the song. but that song.
This feeling.
What are you doing? Is it coming through the headphones?
I'm singing it so I can get to the part where I say the
hooked chorus. On a feeling.
That, if you would have just let me finish,
you
I would have gotten
you could
there.
You keep going. I could do the first and you could sing the chorus.
Hooked on a feeling.
Hooked on a feeling, I automatically associate it with Guardians now.
Yeah, I really
all
do.
The time, right?
They have a Telus commercial now.
Yeah,
and
it's
every time
used
they
a
play
lot.
It, I always because you know I'm either down the hall or in the bathroom or whatever, and I hear it. And I'm thinking, is there?
No, it's the Guardians.
At
song.
First, I thought it was like a trailer
right.
to the second one. I went over, and then I see a chameleon, and I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah,
but yeah, it's totally associated with the GOG.
What's the GOG?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Where's the T? GOTG.
That's right.
Godig.
No, GOG is better. However, isn't that a bad guy in the Bible?
Yeah, he's a bad guy in the comics, too.
Oh, look at that.
There you go.
Mm. Okay, we'll drop it. we'll ignore that part.
The Godig. Say it like that. Try it. It's fun. The Godig. GOTG. You can't do it. That's amazing.
Can we move on? This is ridiculous.
So, will you own it? Would you want to own it?
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I would own it.
So, what would you rank it out of Baby Groots? How many Baby Groots would you give it?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
I want to say 7. But I'm going to say
6.8? That's kind of low.
I don't know.
Okay. No, I like it. I like it. I want you to give your honest opinion. You don't got to give it more than that. Give it a 6.8.
I know. I feel bad. Because
why?
Because you know what? I did it. My rating doesn't... and like you said, maybe subsequent watches, I'll retract this statement. But yeah, like I feel like it was just... I think the humor was a little forced sometimes. Not that it wasn't funny, but it was just a little forced. I think there was too much happening too fast. I think, you know what's going to give it a full 7?
Tell me.
I like the fact that Gamora and Quill had something going on, but that wasn't the centerpiece of everything, and they didn't even lock lips. Like, it was just like, you know what, there's something here, and we might explore it. It wasn't like, because I hate that. I hate when, like, the world is falling apart, cars are blowing up, people are, like, dying, things are drowning, and it's like, let's have 3 minutes of declaring our undying love, and let's gaze in each other's eyes, and let's kiss. Like, that, like, no, this is the wrong time. Like, not appropriate. Not appropriate timing. Really, really bad timing.
Yeah,
it drives me nuts every time.
That. Kiss that you're all oh, here.
Everything's
go.
Falling apart, but you guys managed to find a couple of minutes to lock lips. It just doesn't make sense to me. It annoys the heck out of me. And I know as a chick, it should be like, oh, that's so romantic. No, that's foolery. That I don't appreciate it. But in this aspect, in this movie, I thought like, oh, look, they're not making it a thing. It's been touched on. There's hints to it, but it's not detracting from
that's the story. This isn't the story.
No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
and at the
it.
End I didn't even see them kiss. They just
put their arm around
put
each
other. Like but like as they were just caring friends.
It might get somewhere, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think too is also intriguing because for those that are interested in seeing like, oh, is there something gonna happen? It wasn't just given away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's building up.
Yeah.
And kind of giving you something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah.
So, that gives it a 7.
I really liked all the little references that he makes to things that he grew up with. Mm-hmm. Like the David Hasselhoff and the Pac-Man. And when he says to Ego, he's like, so you're saying that I can build stuff? He goes, I'm going to make a statue of this and a little bit of that, and you're gonna see some crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like just mm-hmm. that love that he's got for the nostalgia,
yeah,
and how he associates good or bad things with it, even though he's seen the universe, like he's traveled the galaxy. And when he fights his father, when he's fighting his father at the end, he puts together pieces of the planet to make like some sort of rock monster, and he comes at him with a Pac-Man. Like little touches of the child that's still in Peter is so cool, I think. And how, like, he gets excited to, when I don't know the character's name, the second in command on Yondu's ship of the Ravagers. I don't remember the name that they gave him. But he gives him the Zune.
Yeah.
As, like, the MP3 player. Like, this holds 300 songs. That mm-hmm. excitement that he's got in him is just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I love that they pepper the movie with those little lines. Even when he with Gamora, that's what triggered my my comment for this. When he's like, "We're like Cheers."
Yeah.
We're Sam and Diane, and there's something between them, and you know they can't say it because it'll ruin the ratings. Like that sort of those references, I love it because you really it's like that's right. If they did do that, it would have ruined the show.
You know what though? I think the fact that he has such the commentary in the movie of his love and appreciation of those nostalgic things, but it's specifically like things in the 80s. I think it's a commentary on life in general that was just that's a great era.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And everyone is like
everyone can relate to those things. Like the people who know it really it connects with them mm-hmm. a lot.
Mm-hmm. Because not many people refer to the 90s or, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that happened, in the 60s, 70s and whatever, but the 80s always keeps coming back. Like, people have a thing about the 80s.
You know what? I think about that a lot, and I always ask people, like, what is it about that time in comparison to now? I think the biggest difference is, I think, this is opinion, but everybody in some way watched Cheers. It was something that affected everybody. Everybody watched The Cosbys. Everybody watched, in the 90s, Seinfeld. Because there wasn't as much to pick from. Hmm. So this is what we all, if you wanted to watch TV, you watched Dallas. You watched Dynasty. You watched Knott's Landing in that decade. Those were the shows that were on TV. And everybody watched it so that they could all go back to work the next day and talk about what was happening in that world of television. Mm-hmm. But now you got Netflix and you say, hey, have you watched this? Oh, you can't believe you didn't watch that yet. How did you not watch the Get Down? How did you not watch Breaking Bad? How did you not, like, because there's...
You're almost guilted for not having.
There's the guilt of what you haven't watched yet because you can binge everything. But back then, it was Cheers is on Thursday night.
Mm.
And that's what everybody watched.
Mm-hmm.
So we all can relate to that. Because we all watched it from a lack of options. And it was very good. I'm not taking anything away from how good it was. But it's not. You go on Netflix now and you can watch 13 Reasons Why and all 5 seasons of Suits. Like, how do you expect me to watch all the stuff you're watching? There's no way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's just Netflix. That's not that's even just Netflix. Regular TV broadcast, not broadcasting. Just TV shows.
Yeah, just on demand. Everything's mm-hmm. on demand now.
Yeah.
Back then, we waited and I said, hey, guys, Cheers is on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we all understand.
And you regret if you missed an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we lived through it as a all together. It
was but like everything about that era, you know, the music, the fashion, it may not have been the best, but it's coming back. Like, things are reoccurring as if, because I think the 80s is just such a golden era for more so than other timelines. You know what I mean?
And I think,
that's what I mean. Like, even in comic books, like, or even, like, I don't know. Isn't Stranger Things kind of like
very much so.
back in the day?
It's in the 80s.
And the Paper Girls back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just I think there's a bias for towards the 80s.
There's a social experience that everyone connects to about that time, like Top Gun and Ferris Bueller and Back to the Future. It's still the collective social experience that everyone had and can relate to a little bit. It influenced things, whereas in the 90s, comic books, music, television, it was trying to find that fine line between being edgy and being cutting edge of as far as technology was concerned, and it didn't age well because they were trying to find their footing for it. So things like things that were gritty and avant-garde in comic books, let's say in the 80s, like The Dark Knight Returns or The Watchmen or V for Vendetta, whatever it could have been, Squadron Supreme. These books that told a little bit more serious stories, deconstructing characters, when they tried to do that in the 90s, it was all, it was more like special effects and poses.
Yeah.
And it lacked the...
And all those stuff that came out in that time didn't age well.
No, and there's so much of it. Like, for some of us who lived through it, like, yeah, I like reading The Death of Superman, or I like, because that's what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
So someone said, whatever you experienced at the age of 12 is the best to you, because that's when your imagination was at it's like, whoa, what's that? Mm-hmm. So whatever you watched at that time, it will always stick with you as being the best that you saw.
Right.
So for people like myself, like I watched... Me and you have very differing opinions on Lois and Clark, New Adventure Superman, but I was at that age where, like, this is what I watched on TV, and it was the best Superman I could get at the time. So I watch it now, it's horrible. But I...
You said it.
Yeah, I know.
Finally.
But it's understanding what it was back then and realizing what was, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the 80s, it wasn't like that. It was still very creative. It was still... There wasn't technology weighing everything down either.
Yeah.
Like, I don't watch the Cosbys and be like, how come no one uses a cell phone? I just... No, don't use it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the 90s, the cell phone becomes a novelty thing. Like, oh, the story's built around the fact that he has a pager.
Mm-hmm.
That's so old.
Mm-hmm.
It ages itself so strangely, you know?
True. Yeah.
So... Even when I watch, we're on a really awesome tangent right now, but even when I watch James Bond movies, like the Pierce Brosnan ones.
Terrible.
Like, oh my goodness, this is like, look at his Sony Ericsson. It's so hard to watch. Because it's so built on the strength of this is what the technology can do. Where you're like, if only he had just a smartphone, he wouldn't have this problem. Right? But when you don't have that in the story at all, I feel like the stories last longer.
Yeah. I agree. I think so.
I want to talk about one Easter egg in the movie that I like the most, which was the Stan Lee cameo, which I think is the best Stan Lee cameo of all time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'll tell you why. Did you see where he was?
He was on a rock.
And, like, what he was surrounded by?
Three Darth Vaders?
Okay. Yeah, they look like... They're called the Watchers, right? And it was something that he created during his time writing the Fantastic Four with Jack Kirby. And what the Watchers did was they observe everything that's happening throughout the universe. Watchers, naturally, right? Kind of like the Guardians in Green Lantern?
Green Lantern.
So they're observing, but they don't interfere in everything. And there was a character in Fantastic Four who was named Uatu, the Watcher. And he was the one who kind of warned them, like, Galactus is coming. And there was no way to beat Galactus, but he had to interfere. So in a figurative way, they always refer to as Stan Lee being the Watcher of the Marvel Universe. Like, if they introduce the Watcher character into the Marvel Universe in, let's say, the Infinity Gauntlet or something, it should be Stan Lee. Because he's been in every single Marvel movie as an observer of a world he's created, but doesn't interfere in the story. He's always there. His presence is always there, taking everything in, kind of the all-knowing creator.
Right.
So to see him now talking to Watchers, not Uatu, mm-hmm. but just the Watchers, it was like, of course. Like him and Jack Kirby were kind of the Watchers of the Marvel Universe. So it's kind of like a meta type of commentary on who Stan Lee is.
Right, right, right.
And now, of course, he's on the moon talking to the Watchers. That's amazing. Right? So to see that, I think it gets old school Marvel fans and in the know comic book fans really excited.
Yeah.
It would kind of be like if you watched the Star Wars and Snoke, the villain in Force Awakens, when you actually see him in physical form, not in hologram, mm-hmm. he's George Lucas. You're like, oh, the creator of it all is the ultimate bad guy or whatever it might be. It's yeah. like that sort of thing.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So that's why it was, I think, the best Stan Lee cameo ever, for him to be talking to the Watchers on the moon.
But they just watch?
They just watch. They're not, but Uatu interfered. He wasn't supposed to.
So does that make him a good guy or a bad guy?
He's
And then does he lose his position as a Watcher?
I don't
really, are there repercussions to his...
I'm not really 100% sure, but it's always that thing of, is he going to give a tip on how to help? Because if he doesn't, we're dead. Type of thing. So he's kind of like that.
He just interferes that one time? Or he's known for interfering and getting into the mix?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't read enough of the occurrences of him, but he's kind of always there.
But he's with... The Watchers make appearances with the Fantastic Four?
That's where Uatu originally
okay.
made his first appearance.
So it's... So you know about the group, but it's concentrated on the one
character. Yeah, he's the one that's named.
Okay, so you know about the Watchers because of him.
Right.
But not because there's a story revolving. Uatu
is the Watcher of Earth. That's why. So they watch the galaxy.
So, like, the Guardians have different districts or sectors?
Yeah. Yeah. He watches Earth. Okay. Earth is what he's... And so he's always aware of what's happening there.
Right.
It's in his sector. So he's the one who's...
So what's the point of being an observer if there's nothing you're going to do about it?
Knowledge. Having the knowledge of everything that's
happening. But then how does that keep you from becoming a bad guy?
You don't interfere. You're not good or you're not bad. You're just an observer.
But when you have knowledge, doesn't that make you...
That's where the usage of these characters become interesting. What do you do? Are you not guilty if you have the knowledge? Doesn't it make you guilty? Shouldn't you do something about it? That's where the interesting plot points come in for the story. But what's cool about the Fantastic Four during that time was that story introduced the Watcher, Galactus, and Silver Surfer all at the same time. Like, it was a very, very big moment in Marvel history. That sounds
heavy.
Yeah, it was very heavy. It was very heavy. Super cosmic galactic story. The Earth was on the fritz. Like, nobody could stop Galactus because he's the eater of planets. And Silver Surfer is the herald.
Galactus is that big cloud that was in the, not to mention, Green Lantern movie?
No, Fantastic Four. Fantastic
Four. There was another cloud bad guy?
That's the original cloud bad guy. And that's why everyone was upset when Green Lantern made... Parallax
is his name, that's right. Yeah.
Right? But Galactus is an actual, like... He's a beautiful-looking character drawn by Jack Kirby. You've seen the picture before. It's like... He's just immense. And he just eats planets. That's how he just goes through the cosmos and the galaxies.
But why?
That's how he survives.
Because he's hungry, or because when he eats the planet, it feeds him... knowledge or power or
whatever? Yeah, knowledge, power, everything. He needs to consume... That's just what he does, and he sends...
But isn't that what Brainiac kind of does? He doesn't eat the planet, but, like, he...
He absorbs the information.
Right.
Yeah, kind of, but this is a little bit more... This is a little bit more celestial, like, godlike.
Do you find that a lot of comic books, like, from, like, different companies, like, are a little redundant? Like, there's always the other opposite.
Yeah.
In the other...
Absolutely. There's Submariner, and then there's Aquaman. Right? There's the Nova Corps, there's the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
Right? Thor is very different from Superman, but Thor and
Wonder
Woman...
There's Elastic Man and Plastic Man. Nope, Elongated Man.
They're both DC.
What?
Yeah, but there's Mr. Fantastic and elongated man,
right? Mr. Fantastic.
Reed Richards from Fantastic Four.
Oh, okay. I know him by Reed Richards.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's always...
His name is Mr. Fantastic. I thought it was something else.
No, Mr. Fantastic.
So there's Sue Storm, Johnny Storm, The Thing, and Reed Richards.
Right. So Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic.
That's weird.
Johnny Storm's the Human Torch.
Yeah.
And Susan is Invisible Girl.
Yeah. Her name is Invisible Girl?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like I knew this, but now I don't know, and I'm surprised that they're not as, like, Invisible Girl? Yeah. That's it?
Yeah. Or Invisible Woman.
Huh.
And Ben Grimm
is the thing.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah. And he has an Aunt Petunia, but that's a whole other... But you know what?
I like that word, Petunia.
Yeah.
Isn't that a flower?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
But you know... Getting back to the Watchers, seeing them makes you be like, oh, how great would it be if they just made a Fantastic Four movie with Marvel Studios? Like, it just makes you be like, why? Eagle, the Living Planet. Like, it's such a crazy concept, but they did it. And in Fantastic Four, they're scared to make Doctor Doom norm, like, the way he's supposed to be.
Isn't there a Green Lantern that is a planet?
Mogul, the Living Planet, yes. Or Mogul, the planet. But they're very different. They're very different.
But aren't you impressed that I knew that? I knew to ask about
that? You know what? I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed that you knew that because I respect your comic book knowledge.
It's limited, but it's there.
It's there. You know your stuff. You know more than a lot of other people I know who claim to be fans of this stuff. So I give you that. Keep those headphones on. So
you never gave your rating.
I was just about to say it.
Oh, my bad.
That's okay.
Oh, that's another thing we used to say growing up. My bad.
I still say it. I'm going to give it an 8.
Good for you.
Yeah. A 7.5 to an 8. Somewhere in that range. I didn't love it as much as I loved the first one. But I was thoroughly entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to enjoy watching it again.
Yeah.
So I definitely, you know, yeah, thumbs up.
You know what I think what it was? It's because I was so pleasantly surprised with the first one. I thought I would be. Yeah. And it's not their fault.
No.
But.
It is their fault.
In a way, it is, right? Yeah. Because yeah, you're like, oh, they did it this good. It's going to happen again. And then you're the one that starts comparing.
Yeah. And what ends up happening is we all enjoyed certain movies, like the first parts of them, for specific reasons, and when they don't go in the direction that of what we liked about it, it's never good enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't like it as much as the first one because they didn't do this. Yeah, but another person likes the first one because of the humor or whatever it might be, right? So everyone becomes like, oh no, it's not the way I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens, but hey, two thumbs up for me.
I did not, as much as I wasn't a fan of the Baby Groot, I didn't like the bully scene when everyone was, like, picking on him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, however, I didn't shed a tear, which confirms to me how much I did not look forward to the Baby Groot. Like, I didn't like it because of what was happening and how it was making him feel and all this business. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, if he wasn't small, this wouldn't be a problem right now.
I like Baby Groot. He's so cute.
And also, too, he was a little bit of a crier. Like, everything was very emotional. But, again, maybe because he was a baby.
He's a little guy. He's so cute.
I don't know, but that's the other thing. Like, I don't understand. Like, is like intellectually, was he a baby also? I'm assuming. Bit. I don't know. I guess so. Maybe that's why he was so emotional.
He was emotional in the first one, too.
He was. Yeah, he was. Yeah. I think you're right. Anyway, I think that was my only gripe.
Groot. Baby Groot.
Yeah. I don't know why. I wish I was heartless. Excited about it, but I just...
Heartless. You like the raccoon.
Yeah.
The trash panda. The bane of society. Greediest animals in the world. When they steal your food, they steal your food hard.
But they're determined, and I respect that. Did I show you the video of that raccoon that went in head first into a bowl of milk and dog food, did not come up for air, and when it did...
He came up for air
and when it did, like 2 minutes, like I don't know how long was in there, and then went right back in. It was amazing.
His raccoon friends were looking at him like, really? Really?
It was great. I love that kind of determination. In a person and an animal, I applaud it. If more people were like that and had that drive, the world would be a different place, let me tell you.
We should all be like raccoons. Anyways, it's time to wrap up. I've heard it all now. Daphne's kept the headphones on the entire show. Determination, like a raccoon. Daphne the raccoon. Martin Slam Duncan says your new nickname should be the Unshakable.
The Unshakable?
The Unshakable.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm not sure why, because I think you're quite shakable. I thought maybe you were going to shake people in the theater today because they wouldn't stop talking through the previews.
Did you see me?
You
leap kind of forward, yeah. But then as soon as that guy stopped talking, I literally stopped in my tracks.
Yeah, you did. You really did.
My hands were up, and I was like this. And then I stayed there for like about 15 seconds, waiting for that little, like waiting for him to say something. And I'm like, you know what? I can't.
The trailer started and Daph J says, "Hey, how about everybody shut up?"
I think you're awesome. I may have clapped at the end. But, yeah, just, ugh. But then after that, it was, I just tried to focus on why I was there and enjoy my time and...
Got through it.
I'm working on it. I'm working on my temperament and my...
You're succeeding. You are succeeding.
You think?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really trying. I really, really am. But heart, I actually see my heart...
You got hot.
I do get warm.
Yeah, you get hot.
Yeah.
Well, Daph J, thank you for episode 75 and for being...
75. I feel like that needs like a banner or something. Don't you think?
I think so.
Like the number 75. You know how... The number one is always, like, with the hashtag in front of it. Like, the number one. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then, like, 75 is, like...
It's big. It's an anniversary episode.
Do you know how certain numbers have a look to them?
Yeah, absolutely.
75 has, like, a golden look to it. It should be,
like, scripted. Like in calligraphy type of writing. I'm just saying.
Congratulations on 75.
Well, you've been a part of most of them, so thank you. For those who, this is your first time listening to the show, thank you for downloading it. I hope you had a good time hearing us talk deep about documentaries and then go even deeper talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or visit our website at caveofsolitude.com. And don't forget to also check out the Fastball Special from our good friend Martin Slam Duncan, who's launched his show and it is a success thus far. And I'm sure it's going to be an even bigger hit in the future. So stay tuned for more Cave of Solitude episodes. We are going to be visiting some comic shops in the area for Free Comic Book Day, and we hope to get you some footage from that event. And we will be talking to you soon. Daph J, any final words?
Hey man, with this gloomy weather and the rain, cats and dogs, I say stay alert. Stay safe. Remember that PSA?
I remember that PSA, yeah.
We were talking about it a couple days ago. Yeah. Do you remember what the animals were?
They were rabbits.
Yeah, there was two of them. Yeah. And they always had a helmet on. and elbow stuffs.
Elbow pads.
And knee stuffs. Guys, take it easy.